But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Heavenly Father, these are the words of truth which we celebrate today. Will you enable us to hear, to believe, to receive, and to become your children who honor you on this day? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. I was reminded this week what a privilege is mine to be able to speak the words of Jesus Christ, the words from the scripture. I received news a week ago that my friend Jack Story, a pastor, had had a stroke, and he was in the hospital. I went to see him, to pray with him, to let him know that I would be praying for him. Before I prayed, I asked if there were some specific things that he would like me to pray about. His speech was rather slurred. I could just barely make out his words. But this is what he told me. "Pray that I'll be able to preach again. That I can tell about Jesus to all my friends wherever I go. I had my Easter sermon all prepared, and now I won't be able to give it. It's all printed. Maybe they can read it. But pray that I can preach again. And the second thing, Dave, pray that I can go golfing." So we prayed. When Jack expressed his desire to be able to preach again, I was reminded of a story that many of you have probably heard, coming from the life of W.E. Sangster, told by his daughter Margaret. Sangster was a British pastor in the 1950s. In the midst of his ministry, he began to notice some uneasiness in his throat and a dragging in his leg. He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him he had an incurable disease that caused muscular atrophy. His muscles would gradually waste away, his voice would be dimmed and fail. His throat would soon make him unable to swallow. Sangster threw himself into his work. He was a home mission pastor, figuring he could still write and he could even more have more time for prayer. He organized Bible studies. He wanted to be a general, but he said, "Lord, if I can't be a general in your service, give me a regiment to lead." And so he prayed his way through England. His testimony to those who pitied was simply this: "I'm in the kindergarten of suffering." Gradually, his legs became useless. His voice went completely silent. But he could still hold a pen, albeit shakily. On Easter Sunday morning, just a few weeks before he'd passed away, he wrote a letter to his daughter, Margaret, saying, "It's a terrible thing to wake up on an Easter Sunday morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would still be more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout. We have voices. We can shout. We can sing. He is risen. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering King. Endless is the victory thou or death have won. The story we tell today is the same that has been told for centuries, down through the years. Jesus Christ was crucified. He died. He was buried. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead, and he appeared to many, to some over 500 at one time. He ate with them. He talked with them. He invited them to place their fingers in the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. His resurrection was so shocking that even those to whom he appeared, they had wondered. They had questions. Perhaps there are some here today who find they cannot identify with a celebration. They're here because of tradition. Maybe you're here under duress at the urging of a loved one, but your heart's not in it. You've heard the story before, but maybe it doesn't make sense to you. You are not the first one, nor will you be the last one to have questions regarding the resurrection story. But let me just say a special word of welcome to you today. I extend the invitation the angel extended to the women who came to the tomb. Come, come, see where he lay. He is not here. He is risen just as he said he would. The followers of Jesus had been on an emotional roller coaster the previous week. They traveled with Jesus to Jerusalem, along with thousands of pilgrims, in order to celebrate the Passover at the temple in Jerusalem. An impromptu parade developed as Jesus made his way into the holy city. Word of his coming spread through the community. Nationalistic hopes soared. His reputation preceded him. People laid their cloaks in front of his donkey that he was riding on. Others waved palm branches and sang, "Blessed is he who is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The nation rejoiced. Upon arriving at the temple, he and his followers stunned the religious officials as they took control of the temple grounds, occupying it for several hours, bringing a halt to the afternoon sacrifices. He turned over the tables on the money changers and merchants. The nerves of the entire city were on edge, on high alert, set on edge by his actions. Temple guards were on edge. Herod was on edge. Roman guards were on edge. They were prepared to move. His withdrawal from the temple lowered the tension for a while. But his actions set into plan a mission by his enemies that would ultimately lead to his crucifixion on a cross outside the city. The night of the Passover, Jesus met with his disciples again in the city of Jerusalem to eat the Passover meal. During the meal, Jesus announced that one of his own disciples would betray him that very night. One by one, the disciples made their way to him and asked, "Is it I?" Jesus also said that, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter refused to believe what the master had said. "Everyone else here is subject to that, but I will never deny you." But that evening, the disciples went with Jesus to the Mount of Olives, where the master knelt down and prayed. One of his disciples overheard him asking the Father, "If you are willing, remove this cup from me." Though they saw Jesus was in deep agony, they were so tired. Sleep overtook them. But as Jesus finished praying, a crowd of soldiers came following the betrayer, Judas, one of the disciples, who greeted Jesus with a kiss. The soldiers arrested him, took him away. This was going to be a night to remember. It was going to be a night Peter would never forget, because before the morning broke and the rooster crowed, he denied his Lord three times. The next morning, Jesus, having been held by the soldiers, beaten by them, testified against by false witnesses, he was dragged before Pilate, then Herod. Then he had a crown of thorns beat onto his head. A robe was placed on his bloody shoulders before he was sent back to Pilate. By the afternoon, the people who had proclaimed him the king earlier that week were calling for his crucifixion. The crossbeam of his cross was placed on his shoulders. He was paraded through the street. A great multitude followed, mourning and lamenting for him. After arriving at the place of the skull, he was nailed to his cross where he hung and ultimately died. His mother stood by watching, as did several of her friends. Joseph of Arimathea received permission from Pilate to take the possession of the body. After making certain that Jesus was dead, permission was granted. The body was wrapped in linen cloths, was placed in a tomb. Some of the women who had stood there watching saw where they had laid him. They left to prepare spices and ointments to be used later on the body of Christ. A heavy darkness descended over Jerusalem. The light of the world had gone out. Jesus was dead. That first night, a few of his followers got together to comfort one another. They could hardly believe what had happened that day. They didn't know what to believe. It was as if they were caught up in a bad dream. They spoke of the darkness that had fallen on the land during the middle of the day. They spoke of the earthquake that had shaken the ground. They spoke of Jesus. They spoke of the things that he had said, the things that he had done, and then they would grow quiet, each wrapped up in their own private thought. A few of the women sat with Mary, sharing in her grief. Some of the disciples listened as John spoke of the three crosses that stood on the hill with Jesus' cross in the middle. Quietness fell over them. Then the trumpet sounded from the temple in Jerusalem, announcing the beginning of the Sabbath, and sleep overcame some of them. Some who had remembered something Jesus had said about raising from the dead after 3 days were concerned about it, so they went to Pilate and asked him to secure the tomb until at least after the third day. Otherwise, his disciples might come and steal his body. And this last deception would be worse than the first. And then the Sabbath ended on the second night. We move into the second day. Second day with a Sabbath, a day of rest. There wasn't much rest that was enjoyed by the disciples. I don't think they went to church that day. Peter was one who found rest eluded him. Overwhelmed that he had denied knowing the one he loved, he just wanted to be alone. But his story became known to others. Word also came that Judas had taken his own life after throwing away the 30 pieces of silver, the blood money of his betrayal. The Sabbath day came and went. And then it was the morning of the third day. Early on the third day, before the sun rose, a rooster roused itself, fluttered its feathers, and stretched back its neck to crow in the sunrise. Peter was already awake. When he heard the rooster crowing, he wept once again. Some of the women were already awake. Mary Magdalene had already left before light to go to the tomb where Joseph had laid the body. Other ladies followed, wondering how were they going to get rid of the stone blocking the entrance to the tomb. Upon arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the stone had rolled away, but the body of Jesus was missing. They didn't know what to think. While they were still perplexed, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." The third day, everything is changed. The third day is a game changer. The third day is resurrection day. The expression "the third day" is something that has been woven into the scriptures all the way from Genesis, all the way through the scripture, weaving a beautiful tapestry of hope that brings life out of sorrow and death. The story of Abraham and Isaac is a third day story. You remember God came to Abraham and said that he was to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Isaac was as good as dead on that day. The next day, Abraham and Isaac, together with two servants, made their way up to the mountain that God was going to, where the place where God said he was to sacrifice his son. That was the second day. The third day, Abraham and Isaac went alone, and they reached the place. Isaac was laid on the altar, on the wood that he had carried, and his father was ready to strike him with a knife when God said, "Stop, don't lay a hand on him." And Isaac's life was restored to him and to Abraham and to Sarah. The story of Joseph is a third-day story. Having been thrown into prison in Egypt, on trumped-up charges, he found himself in prison with two men, officers who had previously served with a pharaoh. Each had had a dream. Neither could interpret the dream. Joseph interpreted their dreams, telling them that in 3 days, their destinies would be changed. The news for the cupbearer was good. In 3 days, he would be restored to his position. The news was not so good for the baker. In 3 days, his head would be lifted off of him. The story of Daniel. Daniel's a third-day story. King Darius intended to place Daniel over all of his kingdom. But the officials of Persia became jealous and sought and brought charges against Daniel. They got the king to decree that no prayers could be made to any god or man but the king for 30 days. Daniel was as good as dead on that day because he was going to pray. The second day he prayed in front of his window. 3 times he prayed. And he was arrested. He was thrown into the den of lions, regrettably thrown into the den of lions by the king because the king still loved him. In the morning, the king made his way to the dungeon into which Daniel had been thrown. And there he found that Daniel was alive, that God had shut the mouths of the lions. God had delivered him from death. Anybody here remember what happened to Jonah on the third day? I could go on and on, but we're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. The third day accounts recorded in the Old Testament are there to set the stage for our understanding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His resurrection is the only resurrection that brings life to you and to me. It changed everything for the disciples. It changes everything for me. It changes everything for the followers of Jesus Christ. The disciples were perplexed about the news of the resurrection. They were skeptical, didn't know what to believe. Jesus appeared to them over the course of the next 40 days, eating with them, talking with them, inviting them to confirm in their own minds that he was alive. It took them some time before they were able to piece together the implications of the resurrection. When the Holy Spirit came, they began to understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ had changed everything for them. It changed the way they lived. It changed the way they thought. It changed the way they looked at life, and it changed the way they related to each other, as it should for us. We have all year to talk about this. Let me just highlight a couple of aspects of this resurrection. The first thing I want to say is that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your sins have been paid for. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Oh, believer, I can assure you today that your sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ died to make atonement for your sin. He died to make you at one with God. I have a friend whose name is Tom Varberg. He had an older brother, Joel, and a younger sister, Karen. They were good kids. They didn't live in a fancy house. There was one place in the house that they were not allowed to run. It was in the dining room. See, his mother had a hutch there, and in that hutch were some rather precious china pieces. And she was afraid that if they hit this china or this hutch, the pieces would fall. Their parents were gone one night. They had a babysitter. They were playing. They started to chase around in the room, and sure enough, Tom ran into the hutch. The hutch tipped over, and the china broke. Tom got a broom and a dustpan, and he swept it up, and he put the pieces in a box. And then he put himself to bed, as well as his brother and sister. Parents came home. His mom saw what had happened. She went in to find out what was going on. Tom was crying, and he told her what had happened. The next week, the box of broken pieces stood on the kitchen counter. Tom would walk by and look at that box. And he'd ask his mom, can we get some glue and try and put this back together again? Well, maybe we could try. But no glue ever showed up. By the end of the week, his mom could see that Tom was suffering. And she said, you know what we've got to do, Tom? I want you to take this box. Let's go out to the garage and we'll put it in the trash. And we'll make it go away. They did that. And now they were gone. It was over. He was forgiven. Believer, today, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be assured that our sins are forgiven. They have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. The sin that condemns us, the past that plagues us, the things that we have done, the sin that brings spiritual death and separation from God has been removed. God has accepted the sacrifice for sin on our behalf, and they are no longer held against us. The Apostle Paul also says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because of the resurrection of Christ, I have been united with him. He lives within me, and I live in him. My story is caught up in his story. My story is joined with the saints' story from of old. My story is caught up in the story of the believers who are yet to come. For me, the resurrection of Christ makes all the difference in my life today. My work is not in vain. Sometimes I feel that it is. But I remember, because of the crucifixion, my work is not in vain. The life I live has eternal consequences. The Apostle Paul says that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our preaching is not in vain. Your teaching Sunday school is not in vain. Your going on a mission trip is not in vain. Your prayers are not in vain. Your story is caught up in his story, and it's an eternal story. There is a terrible story that's told about a man whose wife had a cat, and the man despised the cat. The cat was always under his feet. Always leaving scratch marks on the furniture. Always shedding hair on the man's trousers. Finally, his wife was visiting her mother on a weekend, and the man took the cat out and drowned it. His wife was in hysterics when she returned home to find her cat was gone. To comfort her, the husband made the grand gesture of taking out an ad in the newspaper, placing a $1,000 reward for this cat's safe return. A friend, hearing about the man's offer, said, "Man, you're crazy. I thought you hated that cat. That's a huge reward." The man looked at him and said, "Not if you know what I know." When you know what I know about Jesus Christ, you can live in boldness today, knowing that your work is not in vain. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our resurrection is secure. Because of the third day, Christ is the promise we have that we too will be raised with him. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. There's a dual picture here of Christ whom Paul speaks of as our prince, our ruler, our archagos. An archagos is someone who was in the naval fleet. This comes out of the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 21 through 28. An archagos is someone who was in the naval fleet. Every ship had an archagos. He was the best swimmer. Sometimes when the waters were rough and they couldn't make it to shore, the best swimmer, the archagos, would dive off of the ship into the water, carrying a rope with him. He would swim to shore. He would anchor that rope to a rock or to something solid on the shore. He did this not so that everyone could cheer him and applaud him and say what a great swimmer he was. He did this so that the others could take hold of that rope, go through the waters themselves, and come out to shore safe on the other side. Jesus Christ is our prince, our archagos, our beloved, who went into death and came out on the other side for you and for me. And so today we say Jesus Christ is risen, and we respond, He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Crown him with many crowns.